You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Come on, Joe. See, what happens is, folks, because Pastor Tom gets running at the mouth here and he forgets that
you got to pay attention, Joe.
You got to pay.
Well, no, I knew exactly where we were. You're the one that was sitting there looking dazed.
How much time did we miss? Did we miss a few seconds?
You didn't miss anything.
Yeah?
No, I said, you're on, Joe, and
bam, like we were talking about Obamacare here and health insurance and stuff, and all of a sudden he went from the marketplace. Okay, Joe, you're on. Hey, this is Joe Martech. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. This is the Team Martech Hour, and the concept of this team is very simple. Being a financial advisor with lots of clients here on the Treasure Coast and in 13 other states, because referrals and the people move, there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything, except the one person that's not been around for a couple thousand years. Anyway, the concept of putting the team together meant if I'm a credible professional and I'm helping my clients, there's no way that I can know everything, but clients want me to help them. So, in fact, I met a lady today in Fort Pierce talking about her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law, they're living up in Pennsylvania, and mom has life insurance and a couple of annuity contracts, and she's got Alzheimer's, and the kids, meaning the kids of mom, don't know what to do and how to handle it and stuff. You know, everything is simple once you know it.
Well, it's tough to change things if they're already, and you, let's say you have beneficiaries or you have a will, and now we have someone who's mentally not able to make changes. You're hoping that someone's been assigned to help her in this time.
What did happen was a power of attorney was done a few years ago, and I'm assuming that I asked the daughter-in-law this, did an attorney do it? And she wasn't 100%, but I said, I hope so, because another thing that has to be that if you're going to give somebody a power of attorney, you have to be competent
when you did it
to do it. Otherwise, it's not valid. So here comes lawsuits. Now, the good news, as she said, all the kids are getting along great, you know, and everybody's working together. It's a good family, and then that's...
But, Joe, you and I have seen just the exact opposite.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it's so sad. Sometimes where money is concerned, it brings out the worst in people.
Yep.
I've seen it just destroy families.
We see it constantly, and it's a very sad thing, but it's just called human nature. So one of the things that Joe Martech, when I started putting together our group, I wanted two main people, and that's really all at the time I thought we would ever need, and one was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, who is sitting here right now. And the reason for that word independent, those of you that have lived here since Hurricane Andrew, which is in 92, watched a lot of the captive companies, and a lot of that were not captive, non-renew people.
They doubled. A lot of them went out of business, Joe. We had probably, 13 companies
went out of business, yeah. So literally all of a sudden there was a scramble for homeowners insurance primarily and some business insurance, and a lot of carriers said no. So the independent, if of course you can be an independent with one company, but if you are a successful independent, you would have 10, 20, 30, 40. Dan's got somewhere between 80 and 100 companies total under his umbrella. So the concept was he doesn't work for one insurance company, he works for the client. And if one company falls out of favor, he might have three or four or five that can pick up the slack. So that was critical that it was, quote, an independent insurance agent.
Now, Joe, don't forget that as a licensed, state licensed insurance agency, we operate with clients throughout the whole state.
Right.
And that may seem kind of odd when we're located up here on the Treasure Coast, but the reason I bring that up is this. I know of many companies that write insurance on the whole state.
Right.
But don't have any agents in Palm Beach, don't have any agents in Broward, don't have any agents in Dade,
mm-hmm.
okay? They limit their exposure. Now, they're not redlining them.
Yeah.
Because that's against the law. But there's nobody down there to really help the people. So what happens is the people who live down there don't know that there's other companies many times that their agent doesn't have access to, that agents like myself up here who don't live in that area, but I can sell in that area.
So,
and that's an interesting thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, and we have so many clients in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County for that very same reason.
Well, one of the reasons Dan's bringing that up, because this particular station has a very big listening audience, goes way down into Broward and up in, well, it's a big listening audience. So in effect, when you have your homeowner's insurance, and you know, folks, if you're not so young, a lot of times people either get lazy or they get loyal when it comes to an insurance company, and they think that loyalty is going to be smart. Well, maybe many years ago it was, but those days are pretty well gone where the loyalty from a company. Now, there are a few companies say, hey, once we get you, we'll never cancel you, but they don't tell you that they won't double, triple, quadruple your premium.
And I don't think I've ever seen that on a property. I have seen that on the automobile side, Joe, where you buy this no cancellation
right.
endorsement.
Right.
It's not like it's free.
Oh, yeah. Well, right.
Okay, so they offer this to you, and it's usually an inducement. And I normally offer that if I have an elderly client who's
right.
been with
right.
a company for a long time that may have their first accident forgiven
yeah,
because
yeah.
of their being there so long.
Right.
I want to make sure that we give them the exact same thing that they have. You know, there's nothing worse than changing insurance companies, having a small fender bender, and that company saying, well, you've only been with us for 6 months, so up goes your rates.
Yep.
Or the other company who you've been with for 20 years would say, we'll forgive the first one.
So the key thing is this, too. You've got to find the right, quote, agency or agent that'll counsel you, that won't just automatically write and try to do the right thing. So Dan, being a young man that he is only been 37 years in business. And he
just a young wee lad when I started.
You know, he and Pastor Tom are neck and neck for old guys.
Yeah, but we're still younger than you, Joe.
See, that doesn't make
and
me...
better looking.
Much better looking.
None of the above makes me happy. But, hey, look, that is just it. So an independent insurance agent became critical because even Joe Martek, who nobody really wants because my driving record is not good, Dan's office...
Found a place for you.
He found a place for me, and it's the best deal I can find because I shop. Hey, just because I like Dan doesn't mean I'm going to overpay him. If I can find a better deal, I'm going to do it. And that's the way I look at insurance is I'm relatively knowledgeable about insurance because I used to be one of those many, many years ago. So I have a working bit of knowledge on it. But the most important thing is finding an agent that has a bunch of companies that no matter what can take care of his clients.
You know, Jill, one of the things that I've been fortunate enough to do is to be in the business for a long time. And the reason I say that is by being in the business for a long time and having acquired a large number of companies, chances are if one of the companies I have you with perhaps took a rate increase,
yep.
I could probably put you with another company that would probably treat you better. But every once in a while, every once in a blue moon, I'll have a customer come in. They'll say, this is what I was offered.
Yeah.
And I will say, that's a wonderful offer. I think you should take that.
Yeah.
And when the time comes, and it will come, that they kick you to the curb or jack your rate sky high, I want you to come back because we're still friends.
Yeah.
It's just a business decision, okay? And I've had customers over the last 30-some-odd years who have left me, come back, said, I can't believe I left. I should have stayed. But that's okay because that's what, when you're a long-term player, you expect that.
Of course. 1-888-221-8990. That's the phone number. Write that down, class. Today you can call and talk to Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, or you can talk to Joe Martek, financial advisor. And we're dangerous on some other subjects too, you know, because in our group is also Greg Fasula, attorney. So Dan and I constantly have to deal with attorneys. Not that it makes us happy, but we also have a good, solid working knowledge of a lot of the things that happen with wills and trusts, so we can help guide you a bit. And we have a pretty strong working knowledge of a lot of the state laws as pertain to not getting younger, like Medicare, Medicaid. We were just talking about Obamacare and what's happening with the health insurance. I guess the word crisis is too strong, but it depends on
whether it affects you or not.
Yeah, I think that's right. From your standpoint, Tom, it's a crisis. For the rest of us, it's a debacle.
What's the old saying? a recession is when you're out of work. A depression is when I'm out of work.
That's right.
1-888-221-8990. Now, when you call up Pastor Tom, he's hard to train. I mean, he used to be good, but he's getting old and he forgets. He'll take your name and phone number, and we'll put you on the radio. You're not taking name and phone numbers?
No, I took names and phone numbers last week, but somebody forgot to take them with him he left.
Did you give them to Nikki?
I did. Well, see, I called her before she called me because I said, Joe forgot.
See, and I think somebody forgot.
You need a keeper, Joseph.
Somebody else forgot to ask me to ask for them.
You're going to walk out of here without your CD.
This is called passing the buck.
But you got better this week.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Because
I brought you
new CDs. That's because Nikki stapled them to my head.
Right. You found your way here.
I found my way here besides. Anyway, so Greg Fasola, attorney, was the next member of the group. And by the way, we've been doing these radio shows, we know, at least since 2004. And we don't remember how much longer than that, but we know we had big storms brewing and we were on the radio, so we kind of...
Our long-term memory is pretty good, but not that good.
Not that good. And then... the concept of having Greg was because of the wills and trust, and I wanted to have an attorney that was, quote, user-friendly, that wasn't pretentious, wasn't arrogant, was a good listener, an actual nice guy. And I'll tell you, trying to put all those things together with the word attorney is not so easy. But Greg is. He happens to be one of the better people you'll find. Competency was critical, but I wanted somebody that actually would spend time with a client and not intimidate him. And oftentimes attorneys wear that intimidation label a little too tight.
Well, what I like, Joe, is this. We have such a large number of people who move to the great state of Florida every year. And many times those people have done exactly what we're advocating today. They've gone out, they've done those wills and trusts, but they did them up north or in some other area of the country. And that will may or may not hold water in Florida. So it's so reasonably priced to go in and have Greg review it, make sure it's done the way you want it. And in so many cases, there may be some things in there that you wanted to tweak and change anyway. So why not get it all done at one time and get it done right?
Exactly. In fact, it was a part of a conversation that I have with that. And I tell everybody this, if you've got a bank account, a checking account, a savings account, or CD, you go to your bank next time you're in there, say, is there a TOD agreement on file?
Well, what does that mean?
I'm glad you asked that. Because
I'm glad you asked that too.
Transfer on death. What's that mean? Well, if you don't have such a thing, that account when you die could be subject to probate, which is the courts, which could take 6 months or longer to get it settled.
Would that be true for a joint account?
No, unless you both die at the same time or even within a short time. But a joint account, if I own an account with you and we're both equal on it, equal, your account, my account, we can both sign, we can both clear it out. One of us dies, it's the other person's, and that's just the way it is. But even under that circumstances, I have joint transfer on death. As long as the two of you are alive, one dies, it's the other's, but then when you both die or the second dies, it would automatically transfer to who is named there. Without having to go through the courts.
Joe, suppose I didn't want to do that. Suppose I'm sitting at home listening to my radio and I'm hearing you say that I should put a transfer on death on my checking account.
Yeah.
Or my savings account.
Yeah.
And I say, well, I'm just going to have my son or my daughter put on the account right now and not have to do that. Why is that a bad idea?
What do you think, Tom? Do you think that's a good idea, adding your kid to your bank account?
Do you trust them?
Yeah, I trust them.
And you trust them 100%. Do you still think it's a good idea? Tom's thinking. Here's a caveat here. Yeah, he doesn't sure what the answer is.
I see the smoke coming out of his ears.
No, I wouldn't do it.
Okay, and I'm not going to ask you
and
why.
I love my children, but I wouldn't do it.
But I'm not even going to ask you why. But here is why you should not. Let's say that this child lives, I don't care where, Ashtabula, Mississippi.
I like Ashtabula.
Nice town. And that child gets sued and loses. That bank account that he's on of yours
of his
is gone.
Or goes bankrupt. It declares bankruptcy. How many millions of people over the last couple of years have had to declare bankruptcy because of the terrible financial situation the country was in? Millions of people.
We had a
and then those assets that are yours are because he's in a joint account, they're his.
They exactly.
Could be. Or hers.
Whoever it is. We actually had a very sad thing. A person that used to call us every week on a radio show up there, and he's a retired Marine, great guy. And he did exactly that, and that poor guy lost everything because of exactly what happened, that lawsuit. And it was a chunk.
I think that, you know, if you're talking about putting your son on there, you would look at, you know, the viability of, you know, his assets, what he's doing.
Right.
And, you know, if he's, you know, he could be a doctor, well, he could get sued.
Here would be my advice.
I mean, he could have all kind of money.
Here would be my advice. You know, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong. Let's say I got some money. I put it in an account over here with just my name and a transfer on death to my doctor son. Okay? Then what I say is, as I slowly lose my mind, I want some funds transferred every month to this other account that he has the ability to write checks out of it. That's what I want. That way, only money that can be attached is that little bit that went in that month. So you can have the best of both worlds if you set it up right.
What he's trying to say is, let's say you're semi-fried, you know, Tom, like you are now, and thank goodness your wife is okay and she can pay the bills. But what happens is, literally, oftentimes this parent becomes marginally competent.
It's a role reversal.
Yes, and the kids are not paying the bills.
My son has already told me he's going to get me a bib.
A bib. Well, my son told me he's going to put me in a block of ice and float me out.
I think you should be in bib overalls because I'm more worried about all of you than just a little bit. Anyway, so the concept is, and Dan is saying exactly, if you have an operating account, you keep a very low balance in. It's just done there to
money day-to-day expenses.
Day-to-day expenses. You don't keep big chunks in there. That one doesn't really make a big deal. The other side of the coin is, in order to be 100%, you have a power of attorney. But with that power of attorney agreement, it allows me to go into the bank or go in and do things and pay certain things because that gives authority to do such a thing. But from an easy standpoint, like Dan was saying, if you had a small operating account, maybe the child can get on that. And then that way they can pay your bills if you're in the hospital or you're out to lunch or wherever, you know, keep your electricity flowing and the mortgage payment or whatever. But I've seen people with $50,000 and $100,000 that they have their kids on those accounts, and
it after, could be dangerous.
After I was done with them, they changed that pretty quick. And also, you think about this: who's going to get sued? Well, certain occupations have a higher propensity for lawsuit, and if you're younger, your exposure is more because you're doing more stuff. If you're an old person like you, you're just sitting around a station all day. It's hard to have you cause, you know, when you got a truck that's 30 years old, it's only got 1,000 miles on it. We know you don't drive too much.
Well, we like customers.
You know, I don't get out very often.
You don't get out very often. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So, and another thing that came up with this lady today that I was helping, because mom has Alzheimer's and it doesn't get better with time. It keeps getting worse. At some point, nursing home will become dominant. And nursing homes are terribly expensive.
Yes, they are.
So then the next question was, what do you have to do to get qualified for the state to pay for the nursing home?
You pretty much will have to be bankrupt, don't you, Joe?
Well, you don't have to be bankrupt, but it's pretty close to
broke.
You can't have much money. But the other thing is, this person was up in Pennsylvania.
Isn't there like a window that they can look back on them?
Five
like
years.
Asset transfers
five
and stuff?
Years. So what happens is And I said to the daughter, I said, well, she goes, now listen, we don't want to do anything illegal or moral fattening, nothing. We want to do 100% above board. And I said, good, because a lot of people try to transfer money out of the parents and then lie to the government.
Well, they find out.
They find out. It's called jail. I mean, this is serious stuff. So you don't want to do that. She said, we don't want to do that. And I said, okay. Next thing is this. I don't know what the law is in Pennsylvania. Don't have any clue. I would suggest you have your sister up in Pennsylvania go to a attorney that you know. And she said, well, we've known this one guy for 20 years. And I said, that's probably a good one to go to and ask him what the law is regarding Medicaid and if there are certain assets that can be protected.
And there are, Joe. There
of course are. There are.
Does that vary state by state?
Yes, absolutely. So the key is this. Even if Greg was sitting here right now, he'd say, I don't know, because I'm not in, I know Florida, but I don't know Alabama, Mississippi, or who knows what, but I know Florida.
Well, you know what I did, Joe, when my dad got elderly, and he'd been, you know, in my care for years.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though I thought I knew all the ins and outs and nuances of doing this properly, I still hired an elder care attorney.
Yeah.
And there are attorneys that specialize
in that. Yes, there are.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hear that word, elder care? It's a certain designation. They go through certain courses that makes them better know the legalities in that state, elder law attorneys.
And my father-in-law sought out one for himself and for his wife and how to set up his estate prior to, you know.
There's nothing wrong.
Getting too old.
There's nothing.
When my mother-in-law and father-in-law passed away a week of each other, and there was no probate. Everything went so smooth. And there was no fussing and fighting. And
the attorney earned his money and kept peace in the family.
Who went first, the husband or wife?
My father-in-law died, and then my mother-in-law died a week later.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you know why men die before their wives?
Because they can.
Because we can, right.
Well, it was kind of funny. My father-in-law died, and then a week later, my mother-in-law died, and she didn't know. She had never been told that her husband had died.
They were both out to lunch, were they?
My nephew said, boy, she's going to be surprised when she gets to heaven. And he said that at the funeral, and everybody kind of cracked up because you had to know my father-in-law.
Yeah, right?
That's funny.
Well, I know somebody that you know very well whose mother and father are both alive, and dad's ill, and he's been ill for a long, long time. And she says, you know, I'm asking Jesus one thing, just one thing. He's going to die before me, and that's okay. She said, but when I die, I don't want to be with him when I get up there.
Well, you're there in a totally different format.
Well, I'm just saying. Yes.
I think it's time for me to go answer the phone.
That's right. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Then, over a period of time, after the three of us started off, we added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Here's what happened. Then the housing bubble hit, and all of a sudden new words came in, like deed backs, foreclosures,
short sales.
I mean, it's all kinds of stuff that happened that was just a disaster, and it took an experienced realtor to help people through these things. And we have watched people try to do certain things without the right expertise, and what could have happened in 6 weeks or 3 months might have taken them a year. It may not have happened at all.
I can't tell you, Joe, how many people I've talked to in the insurance office have come in to buy their insurance on a house they bought on a short sale or foreclosure. And we sit down and we talk and we get to know each other. Almost every time it was, I will never buy a house like this again.
Yeah.
It was such an aggravation. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that's because you used the wrong agent. Okay. You used someone who didn't really know what they were doing, who tried to sell you this house without knowing all the nuances of a short sale or a foreclosure.
Very, very difficult. Very difficult. Now, again, when you've got somebody handling it for you, you don't need to know that it was difficult. They're going to handle all the problems and take care of it because they have the experience in it. So she was a critical part of the thing, which led us into the next member, which was Mike Polis, mortgage broker. Well, back when the recession first hit, money was tight. To put it mildly, mortgages were hard to get. They weren't impossible to get, And then over a very short period of time, they kept getting easier and easier and easier and easier to get. Today, we're not back where it was, but quite honestly, this is almost what I call normal lending, where people, all they have to do is prove they can afford it. Can you imagine that concept, proving you can afford to make a payment?
It's unheard of.
Borrowing money from me, you're going to have to.
That's right. That's right.
The point is, that was the old rule, was ability to pay. Show to me that you can afford to make a payment. So credit scores are one thing, but if there's blemishes or problems, how have you corrected that problem or blemish? And that's what a good mortgage person does, and Mike has just done magnificent things for people.
But Joe, don't
forget. Is there more of that today because of the identity theft and stuff that's going on? Do you there's more
yes. And you kidding me? It's
credit
constant.
Problems today?
Oh,
than
yes. Boy.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, one of the things that was really, it's not so prevalent now, but there are programs like HARP 1 and HARP 2. These were special programs that were designed for people who had bought a home, found themselves upside down, were hoping they could refinance it at today's low rates, but they didn't have any equity in the house because they were upside down. That was a great program Mike brought to the listening audience.
Yep.
So, you know, a lot of people may be hearing that for the first time, but it's been out there for a long time.
And they're still available.
They're still available.
Programs are there. So if you're sitting there with a 5%, 6%, 7% or worse mortgage, hey, it pays big time to talk to Mike, and Mike will tell you in 15 minutes if you can qualify and get it or not. I mean,
Well, how about that USDA program? I, be honest with you, Joe, I never knew that the United States Department
had
a loan department for rural areas. Now, here's the real odd thing for us, Joe.
Martin County,
100%. The whole county is part of that.
Now, the USDA program simply means 100% financing, not a dime down. No money down. Now, you have to qualify on two or three different things. One, it has to be in Martin County, or it has to be in Western St. Lucie County.
Or Western other counties.
Western other counties.
It's not just here. It's all over the area.
And secondly, you can't make too much money, and you can't make too little. You've got to fit a window.
Didn't Mike say today, when we were talking to him about that, that they're getting ready to loosen up some of those
guidelines?
He didn't specify.
No.
But if that's a program that somebody has an interest in, be a great time to, you know, to look into it.
1-888-221-8999.
This program's for a first-time home buyer?
No. It's for person. It can be not just a first-time home buyer, but the key is this. You have to, let's say you're a family of four and you're making $75,000 a year. You qualify. I'm using Mike.
But if you're making $500,000, you don't.
You don't. You can't make too much money. And if you're only making $35,000 a year, you can't afford it.
This is no down payment.
No down payment.
What's the interest rate on a thing?
Same
like
as a normal one. I mean, there's nothing out of the ordinary on it. Even.
Are there points? Are there?
You'd have to talk to Mike about all the nuances, but it's something that, you know, I don't consider myself knowledgeable on everything.
Now, do you have to
buy
a farm?
But I never even heard about that.
No, you don't
have to own a farm.
No. House. Any house. But in Martin County.
But it has to be in a rural area.
No. Any place in Martin County.
It's considered rural.
So you can buy it on the beach if you can find one that fits the criteria, which you won't.
But you won't. Because you can only buy a house of a certain value. In other words, you're not buying $1 million houses and stuff.
No.
It's designed to help the average blue-collar guy.
Yes.
Get on his feet and get his first home. And I think it's a wonderful utilization of tax money, because usually most of the programs that I see that involve taxpayers' money, they just waste the money like you wouldn't believe.
And the default rate, according to Mike today,
less than 3%.
Was very, very low, because they underwrite pretty strong about credit, making sure people are solid, have solid jobs and all. I mean, you have to qualify for it. But boy, what a great opportunity for a young
fan. Well, it's like the old American dream. You know, you get somebody, they're working hard, they got a good, you know, they got a
good
hard-working job, but they're not making a lot of money, you know?
Yeah.
This gives them a chance to get into that first home, and I like that.
Yeah, it's a great deal. And then the last member of the group, which I shouldn't say last, probably one of the more important ones, is Vince Rizzino, CPA. Not only that, he's a forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness in the court system. And where does he become critical? Oh, boy. If we haven't noticed the taxes, I had a client call me today, taxes. I mean, how often does somebody talk to us about taxes regularly?
Usually it's between January and April.
But this one called me now, talking to his accountant. Now, maybe he's filing late.
He could be.
Or did an extension. Anyway, he was going, and I said, hey, you got to go back to the guy that did your taxes to ask him that question. Just don't ask me. Now, if you're already done, you don't like the guy, then you'd call Vince, and Vince will help you out on whatever that might
be. Sometimes you can amend your return, Joe. You know, just because your accountant or your bookkeeper did your taxes, that doesn't mean they were done right. So you have the right to go in there, have them reviewed by someone, let's say like Vince.
Yeah.
And if he were to find an area that's not done properly, he can amend that return and help you get a bigger refund.
I've seen Vince get people back quite a few, well, actually a couple thousand dollars for one person, but by going back through their tax returns because they weren't done properly. And then you can refile, and I don't know how far back you can go, but you can go back quite a ways.
Go back away. Well, you know, one of the main reasons that I've used Vince's services for my clientele is for people who have expressed an interest to me about buying a business.
Absolutely.
And I would say, well, listen, you need a forensic accountant who can go back and see if they're not necessarily doctoring the books, but just how does this cash flow work? Maybe you're buying a bankruptcy in the future and just don't know. It may be ready to go belly up, but the books look good. He will tell you, and he has actually gone in there and told my customers, don't buy this business based on what I can see. Isn't it better to spend a little bit of money up front
than to lose a whole lot?
You bet. So I use him like I would any other professional. You know, when the time comes, he's right there to help us.
So the bottom line is the group is made up of Vince Rosino, CPA, Mike Polis, mortgage broker, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, realtor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor. And remember this phone number, folks. You should write this down and keep it. Now, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you don't have to, but you can call this number anytime, and Pastor Tom will take your name and number and have us call you back. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So other than that, Dan the man, I got a kick out. I remember we were talking today about liability insurance on my boat, so I sent the survey to your office, and of course Lisa called me up and she goes,
"Why'd you send it?" I haven't talked to her yet.
I know.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now, Joe. I'm starting to see not just cancellations like Pastor Tom said on health insurance,
right,
but I'm starting to see a little bit more scrutiny on car insurance going up, some homeowner companies that are getting off of some risk because they may have taken them out of, let's say, Citizens,
uh-huh,
and now they've decided to non-renew them,
uh-huh,
and it's become more and more prevalent, Joe.
Hey, let's get a phone caller here while we're at it.
With a debt instrument.
Hello, caller. This is Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. This is Donna Nowitzki. I was wondering, last week you talked about a debt instrument.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just caught the tail end of it, so could you explain that to me?
You're a wonderful person for calling me and asking me that, because I was going to, but now you're making me do it earlier, which I appreciate.
Okay, can I just hang up and put you on the radio so my husband can hear?
Absolutely. Sure. You go ahead, I'll hang up to you, and I'll be glad to get into it. That's one of my favorite subjects, debt instruments.
Well, a debt instrument, Joe, is a great alternative.
Yep.
Especially with today's volatility.
So let's just talk about the stock market. Everybody's heard of the stock market. And if anybody hasn't noticed, the stock market now for about 2 years has done absolutely nothing, meaning it's been flat. Now, it's gone up and down in the course of being flat, but the reality is it just hasn't done much. Now, what is the stock market based on? Now, let's just take loose rules of thumb. If a company is a publicly owned company and we own the shares and the company is making money and making profit, the odds are good that the share prices are going to go up. So let's just take like Apple, or let's take Microsoft, or you can take Facebook. When the companies start to keep expanding and they keep making products and they keep getting bigger and bigger, normally the share prices go up. Okay. In the last couple of years, most companies have been very flat. We've got some legislative problems out there that are making it difficult for businesses to grow. We've got this world economy that has been flat. They're talking about recessions in South America, some places in Europe. The whole concept is, in my opinion, that being in the stock market today is not the greatest place to be unless you're really a long-term person. Long-term.
And Joe, when we look at the market, don't sometimes we look at things like a price to earnings ratio, which could be an indicator that maybe the price of the stocks based on the value that they're earning, maybe a little high right now?
Yeah, so what they use a price to earnings ratio, and they say, hey, we're going to price this stock at 10 times the forward earning projection. Now, that's called fair. That's called what you call a good market. If it's at 7 or 8 or 6 times, that's even great. Better. That's even a better deal because it's a bargain. But all of a sudden, the total market today, using the S&P 500, which is 500 companies, is considered somewhere between 17 and 22 times, not at 10, not at 8, not at 7, 17 to 22, which means at best it's full, and at worst it's over full.
Or overvalued.
Overvalued. So literally, is it time to get in? The only time I would look at somebody and say, hey, get in. Okay, you're in your 20s or 30s, and you're going to put this money aside for the next 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years. The odds are good it'll take care of itself. On the other hand, even with that person, if they're somewhat sophisticated, I say, look, in the meantime, if you go to the bank, the bank's going to pay you a big quarter or a half, or maybe you can get one if you tie up your money for a long period of time.
For 10 years.
So that's not what you call a good deal. So let's take $100,000 at 1%. That's $1,000 that you're making on that $100,000. Now, debt instruments are not common stock. I mean, again, you don't own the company. A debt instrument is no different than a car note, a house note, which is your mortgage. You can have a furniture note. Anything you owe money on, normally you sign a note.
Sometimes they call that a preferred?
Yeah. What happens is some big companies, they issue these debt instruments and they'll have different names. Sometimes it's a note. Sometimes it's a debenture. Sometimes it's a preferred. Now, a preferred stock, and I don't understand how that word ever came around, because you don't own the company, you have a debt. The company owes you money.
And when you say, like, ownership of a company,
right,
you know, you and I know that if that company goes belly up,
yeah,
lawyers get their money first.
Right.
Everybody else that's owed money gets their money second.
Right.
And then eventually,
if there's
maybe
any left,
the owners might get a few pennies on the dollar if that company goes broke.
Right.
But this isn't the case with this thing, because you're actually ahead of the stockholders. They owe you this money.
They owe you money. So, number one, they're paying 5 and 6% interest. They pay interest every 3 months. So far, so good. Everything here is good. More good news is the only ones that I deal with that I recommend are household names. Some of the biggest utilities, household names in America that I have no fear whatsoever that these utilities are going to be gone. So I feel very, very, very comfortable with people having these. Secondly, these are 100% liquid. What's that mean? That means I can buy it today, and if I want, I can even sell it today, all within a few hours. I can buy it today, sell it tomorrow.
Why would you do that?
Well, let's just say plans change. Now, you came into here and you don't intend, you want to put this money aside and you want to make your 5 or 6%, and you're going to get your interest every 3 months. But let's say a disaster hits.
I have to find a buyer, like on some purchases, you know, do I have to find somebody willing to buy this?
No. The only ones I deal with are traded on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, which means they're 100% liquid. All you do is call up and say, Joe, sell it. Takes me 1 minute to execute the sale. And I will tell you exactly what you got, and your check is now cash sitting in your account that you've already got with me. You want me to send you the check? We send you the check. You want me to have it sent automatically to your bank account? We can do that. A lot of people with these things, they collect the interest every 3 months, and they have it go automatically in their bank account. Now, just use that same example of this retiree, and they're living on their Social Security and their pension, and then their investments. Now, their investments are paying in the bank 1%. So $100,000 is $1,000 a year, less than $100 a month. 6% on $100,000 is $6,000. I'm getting $500 a month.
But then I got to ask you a question. When I put my money in the bank, they don't charge me anything.
Isn't that a
miracle? They just don't pay me anything.
They just don't pay anything.
If I give you the money and you pay me more, am I going to net more than that 1% after you get paid?
Here's the key. If you give me under $100,000, I'm going to charge you a 2.5% commission one time when you buy, nothing when you sell. So that means this. If I'm getting 6%, you got to be in at least 6 months to be ahead of the bank.
Okay. And then if I'm there for a whole year,
then you're going to be way ahead of the bank. On the other hand, if you give me over $100,000, I go to 2%. if you give me $1 million, I work for less.
Now, I would hope so.
Isn't that a miracle? Now, the key is this, folks. Think about this logically. It's the same amount of work for me to do $50,000 as it is for $250,000. So I'm willing to make less money on that particular transaction. Next, what I've been able to do for clients, and this is not for everybody, here's some of these rules make absolutely no sense, and understand the rules are rules. They don't have to make sense. Some of these things say, okay, fine, we'll pay you 3% interest on June 15th. We'll pay you three months worth of interest, and let's say we're paying 6% a year. We're going to give you 1.5%, and all you have to own it is for 1 week. So if you own it for one whole week, which means right now until June 15th, you will collect 3 months worth of interest, 1.5%, for being in it for 1 week. Now,
that's pretty great.
It's what I try to do with people.
That almost pays you for the whole year.
Almost, just like that. So already you got rid of me for just being in for 1 week, and that works really, really well. The other side of the coin is, and this, if you're a retired couple and you just want to have income, don't confuse me with details. Don't play any games. Don't do anything to try to make it better. I just let them sit and let people make their 5 or 6%, and that's fine. But every once in a while, we have an opportunity to sell that at either the same cost or a hair profit, and then buy something else and get paid again the next month. So sometimes at the end of the year, rather than making 5 or 6, we might get it up to 8 or 9 or 10. Now, again, when I do this with a client, and I don't do it for a lot of them, I do it for those that are more sophisticated and understand, because we have to agree on how to do this.
We're going to get in and we're going to get out.
Yeah. And I can't guarantee it's even going to happen.
Of course.
But if it does happen, you're a happy camper. I'm a happy camper. We're both doing well. At the end of the year, you're going to net more money. And in what I would consider a bad market time, we might end up making 8 or 10%, which is extremely good, even in a good market.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That's my job. So debt instruments, again, are not common stock. We do not own the company. This is, again, a debt instrument, which means, like Dan would say, said a preferred, a note or a debenture. They have different labels, and we're only going to deal with what I consider household names that are rated very high,
solid
companies.
Well, that's what would concern me. You know, I always look at things with a little bit of a jaded eye.
Like, and you should.
Like what could happen here? So I'm thinking, well, if I'm buying this product, and I want to make sure that whoever I'm loaning my money to is going to be able to pay me my money back when this thing is called.
Right.
So I want to make sure that this is a brick and mortar with assets, you know, and you saying that these are big
utility
companies gives me a lot more confidence.
Oh, big time.
Than if you said it was like some internet company that owns nothing but an internet domain.
They worry me a bit.
Yes, they do worry me.
You know, and I even though I listen, I'm not a Facebook person, and I don't think you are either, but everybody else in the world but us is. But
a lot of people have made a lot of money, Joe, but I'm just old school. I like for the places where I invest my money to have some real hard assets.
There you go. So that's what we're dealing with. So, and literally, there's a half a dozen of these companies that I consider my favorite ones, and I follow them on a daily basis. I keep a cheat sheet in my pocket, because people will call me up and say, Joe, when's the next time?
Well, I see you taking that out of your pocket right now. Is there something coming up?
Well, yeah, actually, we got one but it's almost too late. You'd have to be into it by tomorrow in order to get paid June 15th.
But it could be done.
It can be done. It can be done. But then there's other ones that will come in subsequent months.
Okay.
So the whole concept of the debt instrument, yeah, it's nice to double dip and
but you know, Jill, you never want to make a client or a prospective client feel like you're trying to push them into something by tomorrow. So you're right. It's probably too late.
It is. Well, here's the reality. When you say, if they already had an open account with me.
That's different.
Then I can call it in today, and they're automatically buy. I don't even have to have the money in. But if it's a brand new one, it might take 2 or 3 or 4 days to clear to open, so I probably couldn't get it done so they could get paid.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's just that one particular one. So the debt instruments, again, now there's other pieces of this that should be known. One, these have call dates. Call dates mean they can call this loan in and tell you to take your money back.
Now, why would they want to do that?
Well, let's say that they're paying you 6%. And 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, when it has the ability to call it, they can get money for 3 or 4%.
But they can't call it early.
They can't call it any earlier than a certain date. So I know those certain dates when they can call it. But the worst thing is they give your money back. Okay.
That's not so bad.
No, no.
When they give me my money back, do you get paid?
No.
That sounds even better.
I know. What happens when you sell it, or they give you your money back, I don't charge a commission.
Because, you know, I've heard people say, well, I feel my broker's churning my account, which means
they're buying it and getting paid. They're collecting both directions. Now, I'm not against getting paid doing both directions, but let's say you and I, Dan, agree that I get paid on both directions because you're more aggressive.
I understand.
And you say, Joe, if we can make 10% a year, I'm willing to pay you 12-13%.
But you got to show me in my account, in my wallet,
exactly,
that you're earning it,
that I'm earning it. And if I'm not earning it, you say, Joe, you're fired.
Yeah. It's like a realtor, okay, like with Victoria.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that bother me about some realtors is they take the listing and hope somebody else sells it.
Exactly.
They don't do what I think is earning the money. The same thing in what you do. You don't just take the money and say, next.
That's it.
You know, you work for that money.
Well, let's talk about an independent insurance agent that puts you in XYZ company and then just forget you for the next 10 years and that company doubles or triples your premium.
Well, you know, the only time that they'd call you back then is they say, hey, your rates went too high, so you called them to complain, and they say, well, let me look around. Now, you know from personal experience, though, that when my customers' rates go up, we automatically shop. And we contact them.
And the reason I was setting up Dan to do that, because literally before my driving record got so abysmal, Dan's one young lady in his office called me up and said, hey, Joe, did you get your renewal? And I said, not yet. She goes, well, when you get it, don't pay it, because the price went up a little bit, but we found you another carrier, and we're going to save you $400 a year if you want. And I said, boy, oh boy, this is such a hard decision. Right. Do I want to save $400 a year?
Or now, not.
That was tough.
Said, yeah, sign me up.
And I was one of the very first in the state to get that snapshot in the car, and that got me more discounts.
Yes, it did.
That
worked. Well, you know, a lot of companies are going to that type of underwriting.
Yeah.
Nationwide's gone to that. You know, Progressive's had it for a long time. Safeco's going into that. There's even some talk of General Motors hooking up with some insurance companies on that OnStar,
right,
to track where you go and how fast you go and when do you stop and do you take off like a rabbit. And eventually what you're going to see more and more companies require that. Now, right now, it's voluntary.
You know, but I kind of like that concept, because what they're doing, they're going to then applaud and give incentives like crazy to the good drivers. And here's what that whole thing was about. Who wants to pay more for insurance? Nobody. Who wants to save money? Everybody. Well, the way insurance works, if you're a lower risk, you're going to pay less. If you're a higher risk, you're going to pay more. I mean, what's new in life?
Let's look at what an insurance company uses to underwrite you now.
Right.
Age, gender, driving history,
right,
credit. Nothing in there can they establish how you drive.
No.
You could be a terrible driver with a great lawyer getting you off everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
What they normally look at is this. They look at, how do you accelerate? Do you take off like a rabbit? Zoom.
Yeah.
Do you brake hard all day, which means you're riding that guy's bumper?
Right.
What time of day do you drive? If you're driving between midnight and 4 a.m,
odds are decent. This is not a good time.
Not a good time to be out. So they look at certain things like that. Now, they don't currently look at how fast you go.
Right.
Will they in the future? I don't know. They might.
Why not?
But right now they don't. And, you know, companies are giving 30-40% off if you fall into this criteria.
Right, right.
And it usually takes, 6 months?
Yeah. It was a 6 month, and all of a sudden I actually got money back, and it was great. And then, of course, my driving record fell apart.
Well, I mean, things happen. And you know what? That's the beauty of insurance, is they don't hold that against you forever.
No.
Your driving record cleans up. Here's what I have found many times. You know, we always see these ads. Oh, we saved them 500. We saved them 1,000.
Yeah, right.
Well, usually what it is this. Let's suppose there's a customer like you, Joe.
Right.
Had some tickets, some accidents. Rates went up a lot higher than they should. And now they're coming off. And your company does not look at your driving record.
They leave me up there.
And reevaluate you. That's the type of customer you save that money to.
So every one of the insurance companies, folks, when you watch the commercials, everyone, 100% say we're going to save you average $300, $400, $500, $600. They all say that. And like Dan is saying, the reason they do is the only people that are shopping have a bad, they had a bad driving record. Now it gets better and their existing company did not adjust the rate down. Where Dan's companies don't do it, but Dan's office does. They automatically shop.
The insurance company will not re-underwrite you when your tickets are gone automatically.
Right.
They don't.
No.
Okay, so we do that. Now, I will tell you this. There is a big difference between Company A and Company B in many cases. I had a friend in Palm Beach County call me. He had a couple PIP claims. His company was getting off the risk. The only offer he got was about $900 a month for him.
Yeah.
He had four cars, so it's kind of expensive. We got it down to $500 a month. Now, to me, $500 a month is like shocking.
However,
it was almost half of what he was being charged, and he was very happy to get it.
Hey, when you save $400 a month, that's called savings.
Well, you know, one of the things I've complained about on the earlier show today was many companies, if you have two PIP claims, will non-renew you or charge you a whole lot more money.
Explain PIP now. What's going on?
Well, you know, PIP is that personal injury protection, the no-fault part of your Florida car insurance. And many companies have said, if you have more than two PIP claims, we don't want you. Now, here's what the flip side is this. New Florida statute says you have an accident and you don't go get checked within, I think, a two-week period of time. Your insurance company does not have to pay your PIP claim. So people are going in, even if they don't feel bad, just to make sure that the company can't deny them coverage up the road if all of a sudden their head starts to hurt more, their back keeps hurting. Okay, so they're going in. If they have two, now they could be two people who got hit in the rear end, wasn't their fault, didn't matter.
Doesn't make any difference.
All of a sudden your rates are going through the roof. Now, I believe as a taxpayer, not as an insurance guy, but as a taxpayer, if I have coverage that the state requires me to buy, and they require me to buy this, if the state statute now says I must go in within a certain time frame or the insurance company can deny me coverage, so I go, they should not be able to hold that against me. That's just my personal opinion as a taxpayer. And, you know, people share that opinion like I do. They should let their state legislator know that some legislation needs to be enacted to stop that, because that's going to really, really affect people up the road.
Hey, speaking of debt instruments, and I never said this thing, but if anybody wants to get information on how these things work, what I normally do, depends where you live, I can mail it to you, I can meet with you, I can show you how it works. Pastor Tom will take your name and phone number and we'll call you back. Normally, I don't do business with people too quickly. Normally, it takes two or three visits just to make sure you know what you're doing. But I will tell you this. I feel so comfortable with these things in today's environment. And I'm not saying that a year from now or 2 years from now, things might not get a lot better and there might be something better.
Well, that's the beauty of what you and I do, Joe. We're not stuck to one instrument.
Nope.
You know, we have the ability to see what's available and serve our clients based on the current market conditions.
And based on your needs. And look, if we take the total investments that are available for you to put your money in, there's probably 30,000. Now, do you think there's any one agent that knows all 30,000? No. But most of us, we have certain niches that we feel very comfortable with. And that is one of my very favorite ones today for people that are not too greedy, that are going to be content to get something that's solid, that's going to pay them 5 or 6%. Now, on the other hand, I had a lady last week, I think, that listens to WCNO. She goes, Joe, don't you have something better? And I said, well, here, let me show you a high dividend paying stock that's based on New York real estate. And she said, I like that concept a whole lot better.
Is that considered a REIT, like a real estate trust?
However, what happens is, I said, normally what I do, because you are now in stock, you own stock, and that company can get in trouble. And we normally put in what's called a stop loss, which means if, let's say, you paid $10 a share for it, you say, okay, Joe, if it goes down 10%, let me just sell it automatically. So just so in case company really gets in trouble, you're out way before it gets into you can lose all your money.
You lose 10%.
So the concept is we usually put those instruments in place, and this is an agreed thing. Sometimes people say, well, what if it doubles? I say, well, when do you want to sell if it goes up too much?
It goes up too much. Can you believe that?
That's a great problem to have.
I know, what a problem.
But, hey, look, there are things that do go up like crazy, but oftentimes they come back down.
Yeah.
So very often, you know, I was talking to a young man the other day, and I said, look, one of my basic rules is that when you double your money, take your money out.
And work with their money.
Work with their money. And if you lose all that money, you didn't lose a dime because you got your money back. But if you really think that company is going to keep going, and there's no guarantee of that either. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Tom's Uncle Tom, close enough. Pastor Tom is starting to smile because he says, we're leaving soon. He's really happy.
He's ready to go.
I saw him on his knees praying a little. He says, Lord, please don't let Joe keep doing this to me.
You'll be gone soon, brother.
You'll be gone soon. Hey, you know, with any luck, because I'm older than you, I'll die before you. Well, don't look so happy.
Trying to stay uncommitted here, Joe.
That's right. We're staying focused.
But
inside, we're all going, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, 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 all right, Joe. Hey, folks, listen, we're almost out of time. I want to thank that one lady that called in and wanted me to talk about dead instruments because it is one of my favorite subjects. I hope her and her husband have a good feel for it. And remember this, if you have questions on it or you want to get more information, you just call the radio station. And we don't give out our individual phone numbers because a lot of you are driving cars and we don't want you to have a wreck. But you call Pastor Tom, 1-888-221-8990. And that's toll-free from any place. And as Dan said, you know, we've got clients all over the state and in different states. So we're here to help whoever needs to be. 1-888-221-8990. Now, Pastor Tom, we have words of wisdom back over there?
Nothing here.
One minute.
He's got flashcards, folks, and he loves using these flashcards. You know, remember back when you were in kindergarten, we had these flashcards. He still got them.
It's like DEFCON 5, DEFCON 4.
That's right.
All right. Listen, Tom, no words of wisdom from you. Dan?
Listen, there's always things that Team Martech can do for the listening audience. I'm just letting people know we're here to serve. We're not here to sell you something. We're here to help you.
Every Wednesday, 4 o'clock.
4 p.m. every Wednesday. Are we done? No, wait a minute. No, you're 30. No. You did that 30 seconds ago.
No.
You did the minute.
I got it ready, but, you know.
Oh, now what is it? It's what? Still 30?
No, you got 20.
Got 20. Now, what I like is when Tom holds up all 10 fingers because he sometimes he gets upset and he has to take his shoes off because counting is not one of his strengths. Here we go. Now we're getting all the high signs. Folks, until next week, thank you so much.
Thank you and God bless.
God bless.
You.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.